I live near a
fire truck place.
Fire truck place. Don't leave that in. Don't dox me like that.
You just guaranteed that that's making the podcast.
Shit. Now they're gonna know. Everyone's gonna know.
We have our tag.
Welcome to episode 6 of the TV Pilot Podcast.
I'm Gideon.
I'm Andrew. We've been doing a lot of sitcoms lately, a lot of like comedy shows. So this week we kind of wanted to step back and do something more dramatic. It is a really heart-wrenching tale about a family who has recently suffered
a
brutal loss.
Because we didn't know.
No, yeah. So it's about a family who's recently suffered a very brutal loss. A mother in her 20s, mother of three.
Tragically taken too soon
by a drunk driver. And her widower is left to care for their three children on his own. But there is a sort of a bright silver lining to this, in that the woman's estranged brother comes back. He's a little bit of a wild child, a little bit of the black sheep of a family. And he comes back to help his estranged brother-in-law care for his nieces. And thrown into this mess is a Robin Williams type character, a sort of Patch Adams. Patch Adams, is that the Robin Williams movie?
Yeah,
the doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah, movie. He brings a smile to
these little girls.
To these little girls' lives, who are just racked on all sides with
pain and suffering.
And suffering. And of course, we're talking about the '90s drama Full House.
Full House.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Bob Saget, Dave Coulier, John Stamos.
That was all Andrew. We did not plan that out.
It really is heartbreaking what happens. I can't stress enough that I don't think...
Kids watched that.
Kids watched that. No, Full House.
Full House. We decided to go with something a little more wholesome, I guess.
Yeah.
Family friendly. And this is, one of the most iconic family sitcoms.
Yeah. Of the last, 30 years or so, 40 years.
Yeah.
So, it's something we wanted to do, just sort of a more G-rated sitcom. Sitcom for everybody, in case this show gets...
I Love Lucy was kind of for all ages, but they didn't have kids from the get-go, like this show did, like Happy Days and Brady Bunch. The show started and was about this full nuclear family.
And I thought I Love Lucy was going to have some questionable moments, just being a show from the 50s. But it didn't. The first episode of I Love Lucy, it really held up. I could see it being made today. There were no sort of off-color jokes where you're just like, oh man, you can't say that anymore. That's not good. There was definitely some of those jokes in Full House. 40 years later, some references that we'll get into. I guess, what did you think? What did you think of the first episode?
I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
But...
Yeah. Yeah. That's about how I feel, too. It was nice, but...
Yes. I feel like, as iconic as Full House is, it was very much a repetition of shows that had come before it, I think.
Oh, you thought it was too samey, too cookie cutter?
Yeah, yeah.
I sort of agree with that. It didn't feel like it had a kind of voice of its own at all. It was just sort of like...
I think they did a really good job, but it was just like... So Full House, it's the first few seasons, as popular as they were, critics did not like the show. And I totally get where both sides are coming from. I
get
why the public liked it. I see why you would sit down with your family and watch the show. But also, I totally agree with the critics. They thought it was too saccharine and just not very good.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that, the critical description of it. It just seems like I was very, there wasn't a lot of substance there. Mm-hmm. It was very like sweet. It felt like filler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just sort of, why don't we get into the plot of the pilot, before we start bashing.
I have plenty of good things to, well, I have good things to say about it too, but whatever. Okay. So it starts, whatever happened to you?
No, keep going. Get as far as you can. No, the theme song is a lot longer than I remember it being.
So right off the bat, they shove San Francisco in your face.
Oh, the B-roll of the bridge. And
so they start on the Golden Gate Bridge, and then there's shots of the characters in a park or, you know, just close-ups. John Stamos, who got top billing.
Well, he's John Stamos.
That's fair. And then it shows the Fisherman's Wharf sign.
Mm, yeah.
And then it shows them fishing, and you can see Alcatraz. And then him getting on Danny on the bike, Bob Saget riding down Lombardi Street. Those are the four iconic. Or no, then there's a trolley. Them driving, and there's a trolley behind them.
I mean, it's like the Friends opening just like beats you over the head with the fact that they're in New York.
Does it?
Yeah, they're all over the place. They're in that one park. Wait, is that park only famous because of Friends?
Yeah, I don't that
the fountain.
The fountain is not in Central Park.
It's not an iconic landmark.
It's the fountain is now. It's I forgot. I think it was in L.A. somewhere. No, maybe it's in New York. Maybe it is in New York. But it became famous because of Friends. Oh, and then they moved the fountain to Burbank on the Warner Brothers lot. Name five iconic things about San Francisco.
No.
And all five of those were in the theme song.
Okay.
Credits.
Yeah.
Anyways. Whatever happened. Sorry, I don't know what's
awful with this.
So it starts with Danny's mom. So the episode starts with Bob Saget's in-character mother. She's leaving. And Bob Saget's about to... No. He's not driving her anywhere.
No. He's just sending her off. He's just sending her.
How rude.
How rude. How rude.
So his mom's leaving and his daughters are sad about her leaving. And she's sad about leaving her grandchildren. And Bob Saget takes her aside and says, hey, thanks for the help the last couple months, but you need to get back home to dad. Pam, you've been a great help since Pam's left, but help's on the way. We got this.
Not left, died. They do say died, right? Gone. They didn't abscond with like a cash and leave.
Fair enough. So she leaves. And Danny reassures his daughters that Uncle Jesse and his best friend Joey are going to move in and that they're going to become, his daughters are going to become roommates and it's going to be a lot of fun and things will be okay. And then Jesse shows up and right away starts talking about his crazy night last night. He played a gig, drove to Reno on his motorcycle, and then almost hooked up with a dancer. And before he can get into too much details, Bob Saget stops him because his 10-year-old daughter's there listening. And they right off the bat establish that Uncle Jesse enjoys the single life. And, you know, he's an artist.
He's a bit of a wild child. He's the younger brother of Danny's late wife, Pam. And he is sort of a, you know, carefree kind of single guy.
Mm-hmm. Then right after that, Joey shows up and they establish he's going to be living in the alcove under the stairs. And Joey is a lot more silly than this Uncle Jesse. He shows up with a bunch of clothes that need to be washed. How fortunate that I'm moving in that just when I run out of clean clothes. So then Bob Saget, Danny Tanner, takes Uncle Jesse to Stephanie's old room and shows him the room and there's bunnies all over and Uncle Jesse has to start acclimating to this new environment. And then DJ, the 10-year-old daughter, she's putting a ribbon across her room that she's going to share with Stephanie now and tell Stephanie, you stay on your side of the room. This is my side of the room. So we're already seeing some head clashing.
Classic sibling rivalry stuff. Yes. Whenever two people share a room, one of them has to divide it with tape or string or some sort of like...
My brother and I never did that, and we shared a room for like 15 years.
Well,
we did fight. But never about
physical. It was physical. You drew lines in your mind.
So while the girls are, Stephanie and DJ are kind of getting used to having to live with each other, Danny tells Jesse and Joey that he's going to work and he's going to be gone. And the girls are in their hands. It's their turn to take care of. Not their turn. They got this.
Danny, it should be said, is a
sports reporter.
For the local news. Joey and Jesse, they are babysitting. They check on Michelle, who started crying. Joey does impressions, but oddly enough, the baby is not entertained by impressions. He does like cartoon impressions.
Legit under 1 year old, I think.
Yeah, like around under one, maybe. Not like. She's getting close to like object permanence, but yeah. No, like impressions of cartoons is not gonna or any of the other things that Dave Coulier pulls out. I think they mainly use Joey as like an impressionist for a lot of this.
At the beginning, I think.
Yeah. So they check on Michelle. They realize that she's needs to be changed. So they take the baby downstairs into the kitchen, put her into a pot to change her. There's a funny moment where there's like, no, don't put the baby directly into the pot. It's like, put a meat rack in it first. Like, oh, of course.
And we'll continue.
So, they take the diaper off the baby, spray it with a water hose, put her in front of a fan to dry her off. Just like the most... The weirdest, like,
these men should know better.
They're mid-20s to early 30s, I believe. I think Joey and Danny are both 29, and Jesse is vaguely younger than them.
Yeah.
They
might not know how to change a diaper, but they should know what they're doing is not correct.
Yeah, like, they should have some sort of, like, knowledge about this. And, like, I don't know, if you're, if you're expected to be able to, like, take care of a baby, like, isn't this just sort of a... I don't know. It seemed like a weird scene to me. It was very, like, these guys are just incompetent. Like, but that's part of the comedy.
It was fun.
You know, it's sort of a slapstick kind of thing. But it did seem a little weird to me. So after they dry off the kid after spraying her with a water hose... they wrap her in a bunch of paper towels, not a diaper, and then put her entire lower, like, her lower body into a trash bag, and they call it good. Then Danny comes back, is understandably upset with the sort of chaos that has ensued in his absence.
Yeah, there are clothes everywhere because I guess they kept changing her because she kept spitting up or throwing... drooling or this and that. So yeah, they're just sitting on the couch exhausted when Danny walks in and there's just a mess.
Yeah. And then right behind Danny comes the showgirl that Jesse met in Reno. And he starts to, he wants to go upstairs, get cleaned
they
up.
Immediately start making out.
Well, wait, I forget about this part. Right?
Yeah. They immediately start making out and... Then Stephanie walks in from the kitchen and just runs at Uncle Jesse and says, like, catch me, which is a callback to when she wanted them to dance earlier. And so he catches her. And then Uncle Jesse says, okay, go play ballerina with your sister. And then...
Oh, I can't play ballerina with my sister because she ran away.
No, she moved out.
She moved out.
Which is slightly like... different, I guess.
And this sort of sends Danny into a panic, obviously. Like, his 10-year-old daughter, he has been told, has just ran away or moved out. And so he starts calling everyone together. It's like, okay, we got to go up to DJ's room, try and figure out where she went. And then he starts ordering Jesse and Joey around. Like, you go to the police station. You start driving around the neighborhood. And then Jesse has left his showgirl. What is her name?
Do you know?
Vanessa. Has left Vanessa downstairs alone. And Stephanie has been following this chaos the whole time. Just goes up and says, well, we don't need to do all that because I know where she went. And Danny gets down on one knee, looks at Stephanie and says, Stephanie, why didn't you tell us when we started that you knew where she was? And she said, nobody asked me, which is a
callback to the diapers. When they wrap up Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen and Michelle's the baby.
Michelle.
When they wrap up Michelle, Stephanie pulls up the diapers and says, why don't you use these? And then they're like, why didn't you tell us you had those? And you didn't ask me. Anyways.
There's a lot of stuff like that where there's...
They do a pretty good job with running gags, I think.
It's specifically with Stephanie, too. Like, there's a lot of byplay between her and Uncle Jesse. Mm-hmm. Like... every time Uncle Jesse says something like, oh, I don't want to do that, she goes, yes, you do. It's like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't.
Yeah, that happened at least twice in this episode.
Yeah.
So they all, Stephanie takes them to the basement garage, for lack of a better term.
It's just the first floor garage.
Yeah.
It's on a... They live in a townhome on a steep hill, so there is a garage below the main floor of the building.
Yes. So she takes them down in the garage, and DJ's set up, all her stuff from her room is now set up in the garage. And Danny's understandably upset. So she's in the garage on the phone and kind of gives a little bit of attitude, saying that her friend... on the phone is in her own room on her phone, even though she has three sisters.
Kimmy, who becomes
a regular later.
Yeah.
And who ends up only having one older brother, not three sisters.
Yeah.
So plan ahead better.
It's a different older brother in the remake Fuller House, or the sequel series Fuller House. The older brother's name is changed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Weird. So then Danny kind of demands that she goes back up, and DJ's doesn't want to. And so Joey tries. He tries to be a little silly and get her to go up, and she still doesn't listen. Stephanie comes downstairs and says, oh, the baby's crying. So Danny sends Joey up to warm her bottle, and then tells Uncle Jesse, hey, talk to her. I'm got to go deal with the baby. Uncle Jesse ends up bribing DJ to move back to her room. And he's telling her, hey, I got a girl waiting for me. Come on, let's go. So then he agrees to give her money, heads back upstairs, and Danny tells him that Vanessa's gone because he told her that she would have to sleep on the couch since the family lives here. And she decided to leave. And so then Jesse tells DJ, hey, deal's off. Give me my money back. And Danny's, you bribed her? Hey, it works. And then DJ gives the money back and starts heading right back to the garage. And Danny runs after her and stops her. And they sit down and have a good talk about how things have changed since his wife and her mother have passed. And that... she was so good at handling the kids, and the DJ talks about how things are just changing. She doesn't have a mom. She doesn't have her own room and this and that. And Danny and Stephanie both are there to comfort her and make her feel better. And she's agrees to move back up to her room, and they head back into the living room where Uncle Jesse's there with Michelle, and Michelle kind of makes a noise, and Uncle Jesse's like, what's happening? And Danny says, oh, she's singing. She loves singing. And Joey pops up and he says, oh, singing, I got this. And he starts singing the Flintstones theme. Everyone joins in. They circle her little, I don't know what to call
crib.
That.
Crib. Bassinet.
Bassinet, probably a better word. It's not a crib. It's like the little play.
Yeah.
Playpen?
Pen. Yeah, playpen. Yeah.
They dance around her little playpen, singing, and then big finish, and that's the end of the episode.
So I can see what people are saying about it being too saccharine. Just as we went through it there, I realized that it's sort of a bunch of little gags, little like comedy bits, mm-hmm. Sometimes repeated, you know, sometimes, you know, especially the stuff with Stephanie.
I thought Stephanie was hilarious.
She was hilarious. The bits were good, and I think that's why they repeated them. But, you know, it's the same joke
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, a minute long twice in one episode, and they aren't that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it two times with her.
Yeah.
And then it always, at least the episodes of Full House that I've watched in general, it always ends with some sort of heartfelt conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, the family's back together and everyone's happy.
And I feel like that was a staple of the family sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, for decades. Like, I'm sure, I'm not that familiar with the Brady Bunch, or I'm not too familiar with the Brady Bunch, or like, what else? Family Ties, I think, was before
mm-hmm.
Full House. Yeah. But I'm, you know, just from pop culture, there's that idea of the children learning a lesson or some sort of moral thing.
Yeah.
Some sort of...
That's kind of what South Park makes fun of, with Stan giving a speech at the end of every episode, trying to sum up a moral for... at least the Scrubs. Early episodes, yeah. Oh, Scrubs, yeah.
But Scrubs is less family, you know what I mean? It's not...
Yeah. Yeah, more relatable to an older audience.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more like a personal life outlook, as opposed to, like, I saw a later episode where Stephanie was upset that she's being treated. She's 10 years old now, and she's having to do things the way DJ did when she was her age. And so then Danny kind of realizes, oh, I should treat you more like an individual, but also, you know, need to do this and that, because she ended up getting an ear infection trying to get her ears pierced, and there's that lesson for kids, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of built in. But I definitely see where a lot of the critics are coming from with...
And that's part of that
how critics... formulaic it feels. It just, mm-hmm. it's, you know, they repeat jokes in episode a lot, and it's not so much a callback as they just do the same joke.
Yeah. I feel like it's some of those jokes were, like, too easy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that it's just... And they did a good job with them. It's not like it's bad, but I feel like they relied on them a lot more than I would prefer, at least for a comedy.
Yeah.
Where, like, Uncle Jesse doesn't like his room, and Danny thanks him for helping him out and gives him a hug, and he's like, dude, we're hugging in a room full of bunnies or something, like with bunny wallpaper. And then something, and then Danny hugs him again, and
yeah.
Uncle Jesse's like, dude, or something like that. I don't know. Which is funny, but like...
Danny's a hugger. You know what I mean? He's a hugger. I mean,
you do enough of those, and it's kind of like...
Oh, this joke
too
again.
Easy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people saying... I didn't write any down.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh, man. I remember thinking, like, oh, I'll talk about this joke, but... Oh, well.
Another aspect of the sort of formulaic nature of Full House is that every character has a catchphrase that they use in most, if not all, episodes. And so I have concocted a little game, less of a game, more of a quiz, more of a pop culture quiz for you.
Oh, gosh.
Bet.
Here we go.
All right. I've got the catchphrases.
Azerbaijan.
For the main characters, the characters that were introduced in this episode.
Bhutan.
Are you doing capitals?
These are countries.
You're just naming countries?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know countries.
Oh, God. Okay.
So we're gonna start with an easy one.
Japan.
Hug it out.
Is there a window that I should be looking for? Is this just
name a guy. Name the character whose catchphrase this is.
Oh, gosh. Hug it out?
Hug it out.
I don't know. The guy from the Jeffersons.
It's in Full House. Oh, these are in Full House.
Oh! Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner, yeah. You got it, dude.
That's probably Uncle Jesse. No. You got it, dude. DJ?
No.
Joey?
No.
No, it's not Joey.
No.
Stephanie, then?
Nope. It's the baby. It's Michelle? Yeah.
I thought hers was, how rude.
No, that's, how rude is Stephanie?
Is it rude? No.
Yeah. She says it in the pilot.
She does?
Yes. Mm. Oh, my Lanta.
That's DJ.
How rude, Stephanie. Have mercy.
Have mercy. That's John Stamos.
That was awful, John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Yeah. Cut it out.
Yeah, there we go. With Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier, yeah. Joe, he does a little... and then for bonus points, shame on you.
Is that Kimmy?
No.
Bonus points. Oh, Lori Loughlin.
No.
Oh, hers is something about prison. I don't know.
Something about prison. Hers is, can you get my daughter into this school? I was doing research, and every time I go on Wikipedia for an actor from the 90s, I always look for controversial section on Wikipedia, like recent controversies or something. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, Bob Saget, John Stamos had a DUI in 2015. Bob Saget, he cursed during his comedy shows. Like, that's not, none of that's interesting. Dave Coulier is just a comedian. Like, they've all been very boring. Actually, Dave Coulier, there's a theory that he is the...
He's not, though.
They say it, but there's a theory that he's the ex-boyfriend mentioned in Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know.
That was a theory. Later, I think in the aughts, he said, yeah, I think it might be, too. And then I think she later, 10 years after that, was like, no, it's about this guy, not Dave.
But she did write it directly after they broke up.
Yeah.
Which, crazy that Dave Coulier dated Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
the only piece of drama I could find was Lori Loughlin and the scandal with her daughter getting her daughter into college on a on fake scholarships, allegedly. I don't know if she was ever actually
I think she did time or something. I don't know. The boyfriend, DJ's boyfriend later in
Steve,
the show.
No.
Okay, I get it.
It's the twins. It's Nikki and Alex. They both sort of shake their fingers, go, shame on you. That's
it. Has to be season 8.
Yeah, real late, real late. Kimmy's was, hola, Tanneritos.
Tanneritos. Okay, interesting. No offense to this actress, but I feel part of it is that DJ had a character arc in the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel she didn't get to shine as much in terms of comedy. And that's why Stephanie was so much funnier, is because she was just there to watch and comment on, when the Jesse and Joey come downstairs with the baby and run to the kitchen. Stephanie's downstairs and she just goes, it's showtime, and runs over to watch.
Yeah.
She's just cracking jokes about this and that.
DJ had to play the part of the dramatic piece of the family drama, family sitcom. She had to be the...
And even when DJ had jokes, this funny line here and there, maybe it's because of age, I feel like she was thinking about the fact that she's acting and this is a joke. Well, it seemed like Stephanie was just 5 years old, just having fun. I'm going to say this and people are going to laugh and this is fun.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I just found DJ a little more rigid in her acting.
You know, it's child actors. It's not it's a job for them. It's, I don't know. I don't, I try not to criticize it too much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I try not to, we talk shit about a lot of these shows, but we're two nobodies. If you ever, dear listener, if you ever get
right
mad,
now,
yeah, right now and probably forever.
My sitcom's gonna take off, and all these people are gonna start their own podcasts and just crap all over every episode I write. That'll be fun.
So, all that to say, if you're ever mad that we are criticizing a show that you love, we're losers. Like, you don't have to defend anything. We can't hurt anybody.
I am sunburned and my left ear is stopped up with earwax right now.
He's got one foot in the grave.
I'm talking all this trash, but I'm not having a good time. So, fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Yeah.
This is the TV Pilot Podcast. Unfortunately, the pilot for Full House was unaired and is only on the DVD, season one DVD collection. We are losers who aren't going to pay money for that.
No, never.
So there are two clips of the original pilot, unaired pilot, on YouTube, possibly more. I didn't do that much research. Where they...
we actively avoid adding shows to the podcast if we can't find them on the streaming services we already own.
Yeah, if and when we have a Patreon, you'll be paying for our streaming services so we can bring you more content. Keep that in mind. Be generous. So originally they wanted Bob Saget to play Danny Turner, but due to scheduling conflicts with another show, they had to film the pilot with John Posey as Danny Turner. John Posey is kind of a nobody. I looked at his film. He's just a character actor. He's
rude. I mean, was Bob Saget really all that famous before Full House?
No.
Yeah.
No, but even to today, yeah, John Posey's been in like 8 movies and then dozens of TV shows, but like just at one episode here, one episode here, just as these one-off characters. Which might have been what would happen to Bob Saget. Who knows?
Yeah.
But from the scenes I saw, it was basically shot for shot the same pilot, just with a different Danny Turner.
That's very strange. Uncanny, yeah. It's a little weird.
The only scenes were the beginning, where the girls keep hugging the grandmother and he's pulling them off and he talks to the grandmother. And then the part where he talks to DJ saying, "Oh, your mom was so good at this. What would she say right now?" And Stephanie being there for her sister. It was weird.
So they had to produce two pilots, everyone but Bob Saget, in the original, the first episode.
Yeah, they made the pilot, I guess, to sell the show, which is what pilots are for.
Yeah.
And in fact, the creator, whose name I did write it down. The creator, Jeff Franklin, he says the diaper changing scene is the reason Full House got to air. Because it was...
Really?
He thinks... I mean, it was kind of the funniest section of the show, of that episode.
I guess it's
there
just...
There were good jokes. There were maybe funnier jokes, but for just a whole scene, it was very entertaining.
I think it was mainly because they didn't have DJ or Danny in the scene. Not because those are, like, bad characters. Like, Bob Saget and DJ's actress, they're very...
Oh, I see what you're saying. They had their arcs together.
Yeah, they were doing the serious bit for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one scene that really stood out was the scene with all three actors who could just be comedy actors.
Yeah.
Could just do silly, slapstick, weird comedy.
Say funny things.
Yeah. And, you know, every time DJ or Danny were in a scene, you had to, like, it got a little maudlin. So.
Mm-hmm. And they did have jokes. They had remarks.
Yeah.
But, yes, for sure you could tell that their characters were still adjusting to the changes. It is one of the few shows where the baby grows up in front of the cameras. They didn't replace the actresses, despite John Stamos...
I saw that, yeah.
The twins kept crying when they were shooting the pilot, so John Stamos asked them to switch the actresses. And they did for, I think, a couple shots, but the producers didn't like those baby actors as much, and so they stuck with the Olsen twins.
For a while, they didn't like bill the Olsen twins as Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. It was Mary Kate Ashley Olsen, like they were one person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's common for twins in sitcoms.
I don't know either. Yeah, Full House would go on to add 5 main cast members in later seasons. Kimmy becomes a main cast member. DJ gets a boyfriend who becomes a main cast member.
Steve.
I'm going to call him Aladdin. He's the voice of Aladdin.
He is the voice of Aladdin.
Then on Becky, probably sooner than those two, I don't know. And then the two twins that John Stamos and Aunt Becky have together.
Kimmy, I know, right. Shows up in season one. Aunt Becky, I believe, shows up in season two.
Both those actresses kind of stuck around. Kimmy was only supposed to be in that one episode.
Really?
And then they decided to bring her back.
And it seems weird to me that Kimmy was only supposed to be in one episode because they mentioned her in the pilot. Mm-hmm. It was name only. She was just on the phone with, or DJ was on the phone with Kimmy when she was down in the garage. And he talked about
that
how...
That is interesting.
Yeah, it was mentioned that Kimmy has 3 sisters.
I wonder what that was like at the pilot, if they changed that.
I'm not buying the season 1 DVD box set of Full House to find out, so I'll never know.
Okay. and then Lori Loughlin was only supposed to be in 6 episodes as Bob Saget's co-anchor or something.
Yeah.
Got along with John Stan, like the chemistry, I guess, was so good they brought her back.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married, apparently.
Yeah. And Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin came back in Fuller House. Something happened. And she is either she's not in the last season or she's not going to be in the last season.
Oh, is it still on?
I think so.
Dang.
I think it's still going.
The creator, Jeff Franklin, started his career writing for Laverne and Shirley and another show called Bosom Buddies that Bob Saget had a guest role on for one episode. And he originally pitched a show called House of Comics, which would have been about 3 comedians living together in a house. But ABC was looking for a family sitcom, and so he added the 3 girls, and it became Full House. The house from Full House, for the exterior shots at least, in San Francisco, sold for $3.6 million, I think.
I mean, it's a 1,000-bedroom townhome.
I think the creator bought it once it went for sale fairly recently, like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's a real house in San Francisco.
Do you think... when they finish with Fuller House, do you think there's like a nostalgia uprising in like 20 years from now where they do another remake?
Fullest House.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Me neither. But
it's fun to think about.
Is it?
No. That's it. I just wanted to make the Fullest House joke. Okay. To make the most obvious joke in the world. So what did you think of the pilot? What did you think of the first episode of Full House with Bob Saget playing Danny Tanner instead of John Posey?
I enjoyed it. Not nearly as much. I think I like the 3rd episode the best of the first 3 episodes. And then the 2, I saw a season 7 and a season 5 episode, I think.
I watched a few of the later season episodes. They definitely, the sort of chemistry of the family got better.
Definitely evolved more.
The child actors all got better at acting. Yeah, they grew up and got better. Better at acting just in general.
Oh, fun fact. If you're watching an episode and Michelle is using her right hand, that is Ashley Olsen. If she's using her left, it's Mary Kate Olsen.
They
just play it off as her being ambidextrous.
In the show, yeah.
Yes.
But they, in also... they would specialize what the 2 actresses did as they were growing up. So, like, one of them got the dramatic roles. Anytime Michelle had to be, like, yeah, anytime she had to be, like, serious, one of them got to do that. And anytime when it was, like, comedy, one of them got to do that.
Very interesting.
And they split them up that way. And so I think it's less range for a child actor to have to produce.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you're still using them only partly for scenes, so yeah. Child labor laws are fine.
Well.
Well, I mean, they're not breaking.
They're being obeyed.
Yes. Everyone whose stars is in every, or at least the original six is in every episode except for one character for one episode.
Who is it?
It's DJ. DJ.
Oh, I was going to guess.
What? You said, who is it?
I said it to myself. I was talking to me. Why would I ever talk to you? Oh.
That's what the podcast is about.
DJ, does she go off to college or something? Or is she,
I don't know. In the episode, I don't know. But she, the actress, wanted to visit her brother and decided not to be there to shoot this episode.
Huh.
So I don't know how they wrote out. Maybe she knew it wasn't going to be a DJ-heavy episode and they just adjusted a little bit. But she is the only one to not be in every episode, which is impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's 100% attendance, except for one. That's great.
So not 100% attendance.
100% attendance for everyone who's not
five out of six
DJ.
100%.
How would you rate it?
I would say, God, maybe I should keep track of what I'm rating things because I'm going to be like, oh, you know, it was better than this show, so I'm going to give it a 7. And people are going to be like, but you gave this show whatever.
No one, first of all, no one listens to this. Second of all, no one's going to listen that closely.
Bet. I'm going to make a fake account and comment on it.
I would give it
7 out of 7. Well, 7 out of 10.
I'm going to go low. I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go 5 out of 10. I probably would not make this show if I was producing.
I would make it.
I'm a deeply cynical person.
Yeah.
Though, so.
I think we both gave 10 out of 10s for I Love Lucy and The X-Files, but other than that, I think you've consistently been 1 or 2 lower than me.
Yeah, I'm usually, except for I think I rated The Simpsons higher than you.
Oh, that's true. Okay, then none of this is making the podcast. I feel like I'm not necessarily easier to please, but also, you know, I see what they're trying to do, and maybe I'm nicer.
I'm less forgiving of, like, I know it's a good show. I know people watch it, and it was very like popular in its time. I don't like it though, and I'm very like.
I mean, I as many criticisms as I have about the formula and how saccharine it is and the cheap jokes, I think they did a good job and I did enjoy the episode.
Yeah, it had its very funny moments, and the jokes it did well. You know, good execution, but still. 5 out of 10. I think we've said all there is to be said about Full House. I think we've covered everything. Everyone else can stop. All the other podcasters out there frantically making their own Full House pilot episodes.
Too late, man.
Too late. We got there first. Should have been faster. This brings us to the end of the episode. I have been Andrew.
I've been Gideon.
And this has been the TV Pilot Podcast. Thanks for listening. Like, comment, subscribe, wherever you...
Do what you gotta do. Tell your friends, you know.
Tell your enemies.
Tweet this. Yeah, you know, tell everybody.
We're not picky.
Yeah.
If that guy you hate, that's a view.
That's a view. That's at least a start, I think. Spotify is like number of starts, number of listens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you work near like a school computer lab or something, just set it up on all the computers.
Honestly, just put this on mute. The listen will count.
It counts.
You can keep watching your TV or playing your video games while your phone charges, silently playing our podcast.
We would greatly appreciate
that. If y'all do that, and then we get monetized or something, I will buy the Full House Season 1 box set and we'll have a special Patreon episode. No, we won't. We'll have a special episode.
We'll actually start watching pilots for this show instead of just arbitrarily the first episode of whatever we can find on
Netflix.
I don't
think that's arbitrary.
It's
there's a reason behind it.
Laziness.
Yes.
But
next episode,
next episode is going to be episode 7. So look out for that. That's a fun number. We don't know what we're doing yet. Them. I don't know what we're doing.
The R in the title has the R. That's the gun.
Oh, the Sopranos. Oh, yeah. Episode 7 is going to be the Sopranos.
The Sopranos. We're going back to a drama.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Sopranos.
It's a drama.
Have you seen that? That was me.
I've watched a lot of Sopranos. It's a very good show.
I've watched the end of the series.
You watched the last scene?
My roommate showed me. We talked about it. It's because it's very famous for.
It's iconic.
It's just like bam.
It's iconic if you've seen the rest of the show.
No, it's iconic. If you just know enough about TV, it's referenced in other media. All right.
We'll argue about the Sopranos in the next episode.
Don't say it that way. No one's going to listen. We will discuss the Sopranos pilot.
No, people like comfort. I will beat your face in about the Sopranos next time. Bye.
They have four walls.
Yeah, it was a fourth wall joke.
Idiot.
It was one. God. You're so mean to me.
Loser.
Loser. You know the camera setup for Malcolm in the Middle? Geek.